Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Amen. Some of you guys know Pastor Michael has been talking about over the last several weeks about this, that we are in the process right now of implementing catechism, not only for our junior high, but senior high, and the adult catechism is coming. And what that means is it's being developed as we speak. We're kind of in that mode and in that process. How many of you guys remember him talking about that there will be an assessment test where you can actually sort of gauge where you are in your spiritual formation and all that? There are five different dimensions to it, and there's 35 different outcomes. And what it means is it will, you answer these questions and it spits out for you a readout, an assessment of where your walk with Jesus is. And so we're actually working together with a, Pastor Michael is working together with a couple of psychologists that actually created this instrument. And it's a really, really, really neat thing. But we are going to try to be launching that over in the next couple of months, month to 2 months. And some of you guys will be some of the first ones that'll take that, and it's going to be awesome. It will be well worth your investment to find out kind of really where you are. Those are, it's almost intimidating, honestly, when you kind of think about, man, I don't know that I want to know where my walk is with the Lord. Maybe it's not nearly as good as I thought, but it really shouldn't be anything that scares you, because after all, discipleship really is not a destination. Discipleship really is a journey, and it really is a process of discipleship. We are saved and being saved. It's a process that even, you know, when we don't have it all put together, when we don't have everything figured out, that God is still able to use us. Amen? In fact, Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, it's talking about that where the disciples were together and they were all just distraught and unbelief, and they were just mad at the world because Jesus had died and they hadn't seen him resurrected yet. And Jesus shows up on the scene, rebukes their unbelief, and then he says, "Go ye into all the world." Like, well, wait a minute. That was an incredible turnaround in just a moment. But how many knows all you need is a moment with Jesus and things can turn around real quickly anyway? Hallelujah. So at first, all this kind of information that you guys are going to get, and I know I'm talking about this for a little bit, but I want to kind of lay some groundwork a little for this tonight. I know that a lot of this might be getting such detailed information maybe can be a little overwhelming, but hallelujah, there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and 1 says, "Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. What the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in flesh like ours under sin's domain and as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." The Lord that has started this work, this good work of discipleship in each believer and in you and in our community, is working to fulfill his plan in every single one of us, in each person, and in every church, and in every community that is willing to listen. Philippians 1:6 says, "I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on until completion, until the day of Jesus Christ." Philippians 2:12-13, I know I'm running around, we're going to land here in just a minute, so just follow along with me. Philippians 2:12-13 says, "So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to will and to act for his good purpose." God has a plan for your life, and he is going to be faithful to complete it. Amen. This journey of discipleship. So take heart. Take heart for those of you all that would want to do this assessment. And my hope is that everybody would want to do this when we get this thing implemented. To take an inventory spiritually of where you might be, because we know that all things work together for the good of those that love him. There are five dimensions that we talk about, and Pastor Michael has started on this first one. We're going to continue that thought. The five dimensions that we're going to talk about through discipleship. Number one, if you're writing this down, it's spiritual formation. That is growing your soul. Number two is personal wholeness, and that is talking about inner peace. Number three is healthy relationships, loving your neighbor as yourself. You cannot be a biblical Christian and have unhealthy relationships. It is not biblical for you to walk around in terrible relationships all the time. Some people are crazy, I get it, but it's not biblical for you to walk around in terrible relationships. Our call of God is to put us in a healthy and right standing relationship, not only with Him, but with each other. Spiritual formation, number one. Personal wholeness, number two. Healthy relationships, number three. Number four, vocational clarity. We have a clear sense of God's call or our purpose on our life. And number five, our economics and work, understanding our service to God at home, work, and community. This gospel was meant to be shared at work, at school, at home, at the mall, everywhere we go. We are the light of the world because the light now lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness? So, some review, because I know it's been 2 weeks and I know y'all ain't remembered it, right? I know you didn't remember it. I know you didn't. It's okay, but that's why we're reviewing. So spiritual formation, the very first thing that Pastor Michael talked about, part one, you can go and get the podcast and listen to this in detail. If something maybe rings in your heart to go, hey, I need more of that, go and find our podcast. Part one, love the Word of God. What it means to be a disciple, part one, was loving the Word of God. Disciples of Jesus are absorbed with the Bible and have a good working knowledge of its contents. They're able to find answers to their questions in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17 says, "And that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." As Pastor Michael says all the time, you cannot obey what you do not. Exactly right. The first part of spiritual formation is loving the Word of God. Number two, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Mature disciples have developed a capacity to communicate with God continually, regardless of the context that they find themselves in. They have developed the capacity that Paul speaks about in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, where he simply says, pray without ceasing. You can pray in your car when you drive down the road and you see your crazy neighbor out in the yard. You can pray for them. When you go out into Walmart and you see people that should not be out of their house dressed the way that they are, you can pray for those people in Walmart. Now, don't walk up to them and lay hands on them, because that might not be the right course of action. But we can still be in prayer over them. We can still be in prayer all the time. It is finding ourselves praying by cultivating a thankful mindset. It's a lot of what I talked about on Sunday. Hopefully somebody got something out of what we said Sunday, where in the middle of the storm and in the middle of the prison, in the middle of whatever trouble, trial, or tribulation that we might be facing, we can always turn to God and be thankful and praise Him, because after all, that invites the solution. So love the Word of God, number one. Number two, pray without ceasing. Number three is worship in spirit and in truth. Disciples of Jesus worship in spirit and in truth. Disciples are called to worship God under all circumstances. It is easy to worship when we come in here in this room. Like I said Sunday, this is the easiest place you will have all week to come in and worship God. It's the easiest. It's the easiest place you'll have. Everybody coming together with one mind and one voice together. Man, that's great. Easy. No problem. Got it. But we are called to worship God in all circumstances, no matter what context we might find ourselves in. It is quite challenging at times, depending on where we are, especially if we've got a crazy job or a crazy boss, or even when you're not feeling well. How many of y'all know that it's a challenge when you got a headache or when you're not feeling good? You just are sick, and it's hard to worship God in those situations. But mature disciples can take even those situations, turn those around, and turn worship back up to the Lord. John 4:24 was the whole key theme for that particular part. It is, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the spirit, don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good, stay away from every form of evil. I like that actually, because it means that we don't have to turn our brain off when we praise the Lord. Test every prophecy. Test those things. Test all things. Hold on to what is good. So many people in the Pentecostal charismatic movement just say, oh, we just need to worship God in spirit, and you just feel it, and it's wonderful. And there's some crazy mess going on in that. You do not have to turn your brain off to worship God. In fact, it is just the opposite. We'll talk about that in a little bit. All right, I don't need to go off on that tangent. Worship is one of those tangents I can just sort of get off on and just talk about for a while, because I've been in that mode for several years. So it's, thank you, Lord, for helping me restrain myself there. Number four, listening to the voice of God. Love the word of God, pray without ceasing, worship in spirit and in truth, and listening to the voice of God. Jesus taught his disciples that his sheep are able to hear his voice. That is a skill that is developed over time. John 10:27 through 29 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. As disciples grow, as we grow in our maturity, we are able to discern the voice of God and differentiate it from all the other voices that demand their attention. As we grow in God and mature in God, we're able to differentiate the voice of God between all those other outside voices that want to gain attention. Psalm 5, verse 7 and 8 says, but I enter your house by the abundance of your faithful love. I bow down toward your holy temple in reverential awe of you. Lord, lead me in your righteousness. Because of my adversaries, make your way straight before me. Psalm 32, 8 and 9 says, I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eye, this is God speaking, I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eyes on you, I will give counsel. Do not be like a horse or mule without understanding that must be controlled with bit and bridle, or else it will not come near you. So that is what Pastor Michael has been talking about. Like I said, check out those podcasts and you can kind of review all those that you need to review. But tonight, somebody say tonight. You guys are on fall break mode already, aren't you? Tonight, we are going to do number five. And that is, if you're writing it down, it is pursue biblical principles for living. A disciple of Jesus, it's not just one thing. It is a bunch of things. Being a true biblical disciple of Jesus Christ is a lot of things. Now, it's a lot of those things where it's not a lot of difficult things in the sense that he has not empowered us to do them. But it's a lot of things. We're breaking this down, way breaking it down. Pursuing biblical principles for living. Another characteristic of discipleship is a passion to understand how the Bible applies to contemporary issues in the world today. We must be able to say, we must be able to find what the Bible says about what we're facing today. And because we are a disciple of Jesus, we have a passion to go and look and search and find it. Not just to say, yeah, the Bible's got the answers for everything. Amen. Well, what does it say about that? No idea. No clue. Well, it has the answers for everything. Amen, it does. But what does it say? Couldn't tell you. Pastor Michael could tell you. I got his phone number right here. He could tell you what it is, right? True disciples of Jesus want to know what the Word of God says about our contemporary living. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I thought it's ironic that we're going to go into the Old Testament to talk about biblical principles in a contemporary life. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy 6. We have a responsibility of finding out what the Word says and how to apply them to our everyday life. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read a ton of Scripture tonight because it will do a much better job preaching than I will. A ton of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 10. Some of y'all feel like you won't even have to read your Bible the rest of the week because you got all your reading in tonight, but that's not the case. All right, keep reading. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. When you're there, say, I got it. This is the command, the statutes and ordinances the Lord your God has instructed to teach you, so that you may follow them in the land you are about to enter and possess. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all his statutes and commands I am giving you, your son, and your grandson, and so that you may have a long life. Before we go on, recognize that obeying the Word of God does not only affect us, it affects us, our children, and our grandchildren. God is not simply the God of Abraham. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because there is a residual effect to discipleship that gets passed on from generation to generation. And it is our responsibility as parents and grandparents to pass that on to our children and grandchildren. Amen. That's all extra. Number verse 3. Listen, Israel, and be careful to follow this, so that you may prosper and multiply greatly, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Listen, O Israel. There is a call in this that every time that the Hebrews heard, hear, O Israel, or listen, O Israel, it was not just about something going through your auditory nerves on these crazy looking things on the side of your head. It wasn't just about listening or hearing. It was about listening with intent to obey. You can go back to chapter 5 and talk, and there's actually more of that. I won't get into that tonight because I got to get moving. But there is a lot of correlation between hearing and obeying. It's also talked about in James. In the book of James in the New Testament, it talks about don't deceive yourselves. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be also doers of the word as well. The Hebrews understood this concept that when God was speaking and he said, hear, O Israel, they meant that they knew that he was trying to get their attention, not only for them to hear him, but also to obey him. In verse 4, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is known as the Shema. This is known as in Hebrew language, in the Jewish language, it is talked about as the Shema or the Shema. Pronunciation is always questionable with these words. It just always is. But it's the Shema, and it's because the actual first word for listen or hear is the Hebrew word Shema. Shema, O Israel, is the way it's pronounced. And that was pretty good for, you know, Madisonville kid. That's not bad, you know. An unlearned boy, that's not bad. But the word Shema or Shema, it was actually the very first word. And it begins this prayer the Jews would pray in verse 4 that would go all the way down from verse 4 to verse 10. It is a very popular thing. They would teach their children this prayer. And Jews today still teach their children this prayer. In fact, devout Jews say this prayer 2 times a day, even today. This is a big deal. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. This was a big deal to those that were in Egypt in the time of Moses, because those that were in Egypt and the Near Eastern cultures did not have but one God. They had many. They had a bunch, and they put them all on equal footing. And Moses is about to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He's about to take them out into the promised land. And here God is saying, listen, you are going to encounter some people over there that don't believe the same way that you do. Do not mingle me with those other gods. The Lord your God is one. There is one God. This is signifying his supremacy. It is signifying his sovereignty. And it is signifying that he is the ultimate God. He is trying to tell them there is no other God but me. It mirrors the same thing in the first and the second commandments of the Ten Commandments. This is something repeated over and over and over in Judaism. I find that stuff kind of interesting. I know most of y'all do not, I can tell, but I find that stuff pretty interesting. But it means to listen. God is saying, listen, this is meant to be obeyed. You're going to have to separate yourself from this ideology from the day that we're supposed to just all coexist. I'm cool with you if you coexist, that we all get along and we're peaceful. I'm cool with that coexist, but I'm not okay with the y'all know what I'm talking about, the coexist bumper sticker that you see with the fish, the crescent moon, the Davidic star, and all of that. Coexist. Oh, we're all serving the same God. We are not serving the same God. It is not the same God at all. I'm cool if we coexist in peace, but I'm not cool if you're saying coexist because it's all the same thing. Not the same thing. That's not cool. Amen? There's only one way to heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless him. Amen. Right? So verse 4 is talking about an intent to obey the word of the Lord. Verse 5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We've heard this in the New Testament, right? We've heard this very same thing happen in the New Testament. In fact, you hear it in 3 of the 4 Gospels. All 3 of the Synoptic Gospels have this. It is Luke chapter 10, verse 27. It is Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And it is Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. And we know the next part is, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? But we hear this same call, this same thing transferring over into the new covenant. Jesus, this is a great point, that Jesus did not come away from the Old Testament to do completely away with it, in a sense that it has no value. Jesus came to fulfill the covenant in its completion. Does that make sense? Like, Jesus did not come and just to eradicate all responsibility from anything Old Testament. Oh, that's Old Testament. Tithing, that's Old Testament. We don't have to do any of that anymore. It also says don't murder. That's still a pretty good thing too. Right? So he did not come to eradicate the law from our society, but he came in order that he might put the power of the law in our hearts with the power of the Holy Spirit, that he would write the law in us instead of upon stone tablets. He would turn stone tablets into hearts of flesh where he could write the law of the Lord in us. That's awesome. So God is saying in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. Obedience to God, hear me, obedience to God is tied directly to loving God. Obedience to the Lord is tied directly to loving God. In John chapter 8, verse 31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, it says, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. He's talking about the fact that we don't just hear the word of God and then don't do what it says. We've got to do the word of God. We've got to live the word of God. We've got to act on the word of God. We've got to exemplify the word of God in a dark world. There is a commitment to knowing his word and seeking his ways in which to apply the word of God to our life today. There is a... let's break that verse down a little bit. Heart. Let's talk about the heart. The heart, they're talking about, of course, it is the central part out of which all issues of life. Soul. My soul is myself, and it includes all of our self-action. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, the central part of all the issues of life. All of your soul. Your soul is yourself and includes all your self-action. All of your strength. Your strength involves the will and means moral and physical strength. Love the Lord your God with everything you've got within your capacity to do so. And it says, love the Lord your God with all your mind. In the New Testament, Jesus even pushed that further. And he says to us, the intellect with all of its power and ability to think and plan. Love the Lord your God with that part of you too. It's all encompassing. Obedience to God's word is all encompassing. It is everything. It is everything. It is all of you. It is every piece of you. It is all of you. In verse 6, I'm keeping on going. I'm running out of time quickly. That's probably a good thing for y'all. In verse 6, it says, these words I am giving you today are to be in your heart. So let's back up. Obey, Israel. Listen to me and obey. Love me with all of your heart, your soul, and your strength. These words I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. There is a bit of, y'all ready for this? I told you on Sunday I was giving you no theological terms. So I'm going to give you one now. This is Hebraic anatomic symbolism. And we can all go home. Yep. Fantastic. Right? Hebraic anatomic symbolism. It's a big word for defining what it means when the Hebrews said heart. Did y'all know that the Jews or the Hebrews back in this time thought of the kidneys when there was in literature, they thought of the kidneys as the emotional center of a person? Kind of weird, isn't it? Well, you learn something new every day. The throat was connected to life and the essence of life, the essence of living. Like in literature and things of ancient Hebrew writings, those were two pieces. So, when you read in Scripture a lot, I don't know offhand right now there are any references to kidneys in the Scriptures, but I do know that it talks about that God will talks about the head. The head is to the Hebrews was a sign or a symbolism for leadership. The hand was a symbol for power or authority. God, you are with my right hand. Right? It's a symbol of power and authority. With your right arm, you will deliver us. It's a symbol of strength. And heart in our English vocabulary is used metaphorically, of course, for the seat of our emotions. But in Hebrew, it's not just that. It's actually the seat of emotions plus logic and reason. In English, we separate the heart as our emotional center, contrasting it from logic and reason. But in Hebrew, it's altogether one encompassing deal. You can't separate the mind and the emotions. It's all put neatly together. When the Hebrews say, this is supposed to be in your heart, this means your mind, your will, your emotions, the soul. The innermost part of your man. Every part of you. Turn to Psalm 19, chapter 19, verse 7. Anybody getting anything out of this? It sure was a lot of work if you didn't. I'm having fun, y'all. God is good. Psalm 19 says, verse 7 says, "The instruction of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The commandment of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up." How many of y'all know that when somebody's living right, they've got a twinkle in their eye? There's just something about them. Verse 9, "The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous." The ordinances of the Lord are reliable. He is faithful. He is reliable. He is everlasting. He is trustworthy. He is sure-footed. He is constant. He is. Psalm 19:14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Turn to Psalm 119. We're going to read several verses here. Psalm 119, verse 1 says, "How happy are those whose way is blameless, who live according to the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart." Again, heart, same deal. Not just the innermost emotional center of you. All of you, the mind, the will, the intellect, logic, reason, everything. "They do nothing wrong. They follow his ways. You have commanded that your precepts be diligently," that's a key word, "diligently kept. If only my ways were committed to keeping your statutes, then I would not be ashamed when I think about all your commands. I will praise you with a sincere heart when I learn your righteous judgments." Verse 8, "I will keep your statutes, never abandon me." How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I just don't know how to live. I mean, you know, I deal with, you know, some in junior high and some of these young people. I just don't know how to, this is a real, an issue. I saw an article the other day on Facebook about preteens and young teenage girls that are having to deal with pornographically addicted young men. That sexuality now to a 13-year-old boy and girl is not the same as when it was when you were 13, or even I was 13. That the girls now are having to deal with these boys that are addicted to this mess. And, you know, some of them just feel like they're powerless. You know, they just, man, I don't know how to stay pure. Psalm 119, verse 8 says, "I will keep your statutes." Verse 9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word." By keeping the word of the Lord. Purity is found in digging out through the scriptures. Oh, man, that's just so boring and it's so dull and it's so... Well, you want to be bound or you want to be free? It's just that simple. Verse 10, "I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Lord, may you be praised. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I proclaim all the judgments from your mouth. I rejoice in the way your decrees as much as all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and think about your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1 says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding. Furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift up your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God." Proverbs 3 verse 5, it's a familiar verse. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." How do we take the word of God and apply it to a contemporary living? trusting within the Lord with all of our heart, leaning not on what we understand, but in all of our ways, acknowledging Him, and He will direct our path. That's how we do this. Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 27. I told you I was going to read a lot of scripture. It says, "My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life." The pursuit of your heart will define who you are. Sounds familiar, right? The pursuit of your heart will define who you are. Over the last, I think they have started a brand new series tonight over in junior high, but the last 4 weeks leading up to when Clay Dyer was in here, that verse was talked about. And in fact, this particular part of Scripture was talked about, taught on, tried to just drill it into those young, beautifully well-behaved children of yours in there. And we talked about it over and over and over, to guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. We actually asked them to see what was maybe trying to penetrate their heart in good areas and in bad areas. And how do you know the difference? And how, I mean, you know, easy, elementary type things. But we got to teach them. I'm going to teach them the ways of the Lord. And it's awesome. And I would, you know, tease McKenna going to school. You make sure you guard your heart today. I know, Dad. I know, Dad. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life. Biblical principles for living are necessary for all of the dimensions of life. All of them. If we can separate our Sunday Christianity from our Monday through Saturday Christianity, we're in trouble, right? That's compartmentalizing, and it really has nothing to do with integrity. Integrity meaning integrating holiness and personal wholeness into all of our life. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. It's going to sound very familiar to Psalm 1, 1 through 3. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence indeed is the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by water. It sends its roots out toward a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit." Do you know that staying locked into the Word of God will enable you to produce fruit no matter what season of life you are in? No matter what season of life you are in, you still have a responsibility to produce fruit unto righteousness. "Well, I produced fruit back when I was 40. Keep producing. Keep producing fruit. We need it. These young people need it. They need to taste and see that the Lord is good. They need to taste and see that the Lord is good from your branches, that the fruit of the Spirit in your life that is producing. They need it. We need it. I need it. I want it. And if you really get honest with some of those young kids, they want it too. They want it too. They want you to pay attention to them. They want you to be interested in what they're doing. They crave it. They need it. And man, we do have some great kids here. I mean, just, we've got a lot of great kids here. And you know what? You know what make great kids? Great parents and great grandparents. And we, you know, that's something to be celebrated in a day and age where the family is being destroyed. That there is still a city set on a hill, that God still has a plan, that God is still raising up a remnant of people that is instilling biblical principles in our families and raising them right. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. We've got to be busy about our Father's business. It is absolutely imperative. that we share the light, because darkness is increasing. Just like the story today in South Carolina, darkness is increasing. It's moving every which way. Let His Word, let God's Word be something that we don't simply just carry on our phone or carry around in a you know, leather zipped bag that we bring to church once a week. Let it be something that's written on our hearts. Let it be something that we carry with us wherever we go, and apply His Word to every aspect of our life. Blessed, happy is the man who doesn't follow the counsel of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instructions. He meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness tonight. We thank you, Lord, for leading us down the path of discipleship. I thank you, God, for allowing us, God, with ears to hear your voice, to know your voice. I pray, God, that you'd help us and instruct us to pray always. I pray, God, that you'd help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord God, I just thank you that you are developing within us the power to draw nearer and closer to you. And God, help us to take this gospel out these walls and touch the people in this city. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope you guys got something out of this. If you didn't, like I said, man, it sure was a lot of work if you didn't. But no, I'm teasing. I have so thoroughly enjoyed sharing with you guys over the last couple of services. But don't fear. Pastor Michael's coming back, y'all. Don't fear. I appreciate you guys. Love y'all very, very much.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.